It being a little after 5:30, I'll go ahead and just bring the meeting into order. I put together a agenda. So do we need to vote on that? Can't remember. Does anybody want to? I had an agenda put together, and I guess, you know, it was kind of seat of the pants somewhat. I was trying to recall, you know, what we talked about in our meeting somewhat. I'm not in my office right now, but my home office deal, so it might get noisy. I'll try to keep it muted. But you know, looking at our agenda here, I think there are just a few topics to kind of go over. And then, of course, I want to make it sort of open to everyone to offer any thoughts on adding something to the agenda if we need to. But first off, I thought I'd mention that there was the Arbor Day tree planting that the city helped us sponsor. I was actually able to go over there and witness that, which was nice, on Lakeshore Drive last Thursday. And Paul, do you want to, you know, mention how many folks showed up or anything special that for that one?
Well, I can't say that I counted, but it was probably, what, 30 people, something like that?
Sure. Yeah. And Christy, I guess, do you recall the folks that they honored, like the Garden Club basically used that tree to kind of honor four or five folks that passed away in the past year?
Yeah, the Garden Club does this every year, donates money for the city to purchase a tree. And we memorialize deceased members or deceased spouses of members. And this year it was two members, Bonnie Phelps and Elaine.
No, Elizabeth Wellborn.
Yeah. And then also the husbands of Mary Crowell and Deb Timberlake. Anyway, I think there were probably at least 30 people there. A lot of, you know, people from the city, people from the Garden Club, people from the tree board, which was great. And I know the families that were there were, you know, they were really very appreciative of, you know, what the city does. And it was a pretty tree, that dogwood. I think it's going to be beautiful in the spring.
So it's great, and I'm glad, you know, we're able to be involved in that somewhat, and then the fact that the city's able to sponsor that too. And we always use that as a way to kind of show the Arbor Day Foundation that we're keeping up with our, what is it, 35 years of being a Tree City USA, Paul?
Yes, 38.
38, which I think is longer than the city of Atlanta. Or maybe the city of Atlanta had a break because they couldn't get all their stuff every year. I don't know. So anyway, with that, one of the things that I know has happened is that Tracy submitted all of our information to be a community arboretum. Tracy, you want to give an update on that?
We were accredited. Yay. We got ArbNet accreditation level 1. So it's done.
And then from this, you know, we could probably put together the, you know, maybe an online page about the arboretum, I guess.
It triggers a few things that we need to do, and I've been traveling, so I'm just like absorbing those things now. Really, I sent you the email once I was in cell phone, but now, anyway, they do have like a little badge to put on the website, and some information about how to do that. They also have like a little guide to talking about ArbNets and press releases. So we probably want to do a press release. And I don't know who does that. So I'm just, let's put a pin in that, but we probably need to do a little press release about it. They've asked for some high res landscape resolution photos of the arboretum, which Christy, you sent me some great photos that we used in the accreditation process, but I think they just want some more photos of, you know, what the arboretum looks like. So if anybody has any thoughts about that or takes great photos or knows anybody who takes great photos, we probably want to send a few of those.
Yeah, and I think we could do generally some, I mean, the lake is part of the Arboretum, the Willis Park is part of the Arboretum.
Green is going to be part of an arboretum.
So we're going to do like really nice promotional photos in the city.
And maybe the city has some in high-res form. Somebody here has some in high-res form that we could send to ArbNet or could take some of these.
And if we can get, you know, photos of trees being, you know, from tree plantings in the past, and then also some pictures of the markers, I think that would be fine.
So, we go out and just take pictures of like the live oak, I mean, with our phones, that's not high resolution enough?
I mean, it probably... Well, you know, when you send a photo and it asks if you want to send it small, medium, or large, my guess is that they're looking for some large format photos, but I can clarify that with Sue now that I'm back in town, and I can ask her what she's looking for, and then I can post that to the tree board.
Because all the photos I sent to you were sent with a phone.
And I think she's just... I don't know. I could also say, do those not suffice? She followed up asking for some photos. And
most of the iPhone stuff these days is so high resolution. I would assume that would be.
Maybe because we're sending it via email, it's getting compressed or something. So I can find out more about like what she's looking for.
As far as the press release, Paul, do you think? Could we, as a tree board, somebody want to volunteer to put that together and give it to you guys? Would that suffice?
Yeah, I mean, if there's somebody that wants to type something up, or you can just coordinate it with Ellen Powell, who's our communications director.
Right.
And she's a tree fan, so I'm sure she'd be happy to say something nice about the Arboretum and tree board. And she can also take photos if you need some.
So. Specifically said, and I see Elaine has her hand raised. They specifically said they want a quote too about like why ArbNet accreditation was important to the Arboretum. One of us can say something about that, or all of us can. Anyway.
Well, Tracy, Elena, since you know all about ArbNet, I think you're the person who should write up some words for Ellen Powell to put out.
Elaine, I think you had a question.
I do. Thank you. If for those of us like myself who's new, can you do a real short summary of like what this accreditation means, or send me, you know, a link or just something that I can learn more about it so I know what it means for us?
Yeah. So some of us were part of a separate group that the Board of Mayor and Commissioners put together for the Arboretum, which was, hey, there are community arboretums. There's one in Inman Park. There's one in several other neighborhoods in Atlanta. Other cities have them. And we just thought, hey, let's get ourselves accredited to be a community arboretum. It's run through the Morton Arboretum up in Chicago.
But it's Chicago.
Yeah. So, it's kind of a nice little, you know, obviously having a tree city is one that's gone all across the country that, you know, cities try to be part of that. So it's just another kind of point with that. And Tracy, do you remember some of the other specifics that come up, what it means? I mean, I think other than kind of the promotional aspect.
I will post, like when I put some things in, like, you know, whatever this communication that Paul set up for us is, I'll just add a link to ArbNet, but we're officially an arboretum now instead of just like a city with a bunch of beautiful trees, right? So, which means that we are keeping track of which trees we have. We have kind of a collection of trees that we are, you know, agreeing to maintain as a part of this collection. And we also are committed to doing at least one educational event a year, which we've said. So that would mean per our application, next year at the Arbor Day event, the tree board would do some kind of educational something about the Arboretum. That's what we said that we'd do. We just have to do at least one public educational event a year. And
there's also, Trace, you know, the tree walk.
The tree walk, which is every other year, is my understanding. Right.
So we do, Arbor Day, and we can
do more than one. It's just at level one accreditation, we have to do at least one public thing. a year. And the higher levels of accreditation, you have to have paid staff working for the Arboretum. So we're not aspiring to be level 2 or 3 or 4. That you can go even deeper with the levels of accreditation, but at those levels, you don't have a volunteer tree board. You have staff who are working for the Arboretum. Yeah. So we probably, I mean, I don't want to say never, but like that's kind of where we are right now is at level 1. The last thing I'll say that she suggested in her email is that we also upload our collections to the BGCI or Botanical Gardens Conservation International website. And I want to talk to Steve about that, but I think that's a good idea to do that just so so that people who are interested in trees worldwide and want to know the distribution of certain species or if they're researching certain rare species, then we happen to have one, you know, that that makes it available to a wider pool of researchers.
Yeah, and the other thing too is that we need to make sure is cross-referencing to it all is the tree inventory that the city's put together that's in the map that's right there.
And we want to do the map. Yeah, we still have lots of work to do. But now we're officially
the map's done. It's you sent a link to that website. We're good. So with that, what we wanted to do, Christy has been spearheading getting additional tree markers to add to what we've already done, what we did last year or so. And Christy, I guess you have made the order.
Well, we had to reduce it. We had 36 trees, and then it turns out that our suppliers, or the actual manufacturer suppliers, have raised the price of the granite, so their prices went up. So we had actually collected from residents in the city, people that donated money for markers. We'd collected $2,680. Well, the price was now $80 a marker rather than 70. We didn't have enough money. So we went back to Steve, and I asked Steve if he could, decide what 6 out of that 36 to delete. So he did. I sent that list back off to D&S Monuments, Dalton, the manufacturer of the marker. And I'm waiting to get a final proof from her. And once we get that and we say, okay, the spelling is all right, it's the right kind of font, et cetera, then the order will be placed. And so it's going to cost $2,400 for the 30 at $80 a piece. And then we have them delivered. Their delivery charge went up to $300. They charged us $200 last year. So we're short like $20 now of the money that we had collected from donations of residents. Well, but we've got enough basically to pay for 30 markers and delivery.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll see them by the end of the summer.
So that would be kind of an upcoming thing. Once those do get planted, okay, they're being shipped. They're going to bring them at one point. And I remember last summer we had it like they were going to go to the city, like public works yard, and we're going to have to organize to see where they show up.
Where to have them delivered. Yeah. I mean, and it worked out very well that one of our garden club members has a huge garage with only one car in it. And she agreed to let us put the markers in her garage until we actually planted them.
Right.
I'm not sure she's willing to do that.
Well, they were in there a long time. So I think if we could, make that plan, and I think it'll be on us to sort of plan trying to put out there to get volunteers to actually install these. Again, they're pretty simple. You just need a few simple tools to dig these into the ground. That's it. So we'll look for that in the next couple of months here, hopefully. So
once that order's been placed, I'll send an email out to that group that Paul has set up for us and just let you know the order has been placed and what our timeline is like. But originally she had told me once we placed the order that we're looking at 16 to 22 weeks.
Okay.
So it's a while.
Well, it's none of that is surprising. Elaine, do you have another question? I see your hand.
Hi, me again. If we're just short 6 markers, I would love to sponsor that. The remaining 6.
I'll tell you once, right now, she's working on another set of proofs for us of the 30 markers. Now, I mean, you're talking 80 times six, that's what, $480. I mean, if you're willing to donate $480, I mean, I can go back to her and say, okay, we approve of we actually had approved of the proofs of the first 36. So,
yes.
Well, if you are willing to donate $480, what has happened is because the city doesn't have any funds for the tree board. Well, they didn't have any funds for the arboretum. So there was no way for us to actually, you know, have a bank account and collect that money. So the Avondale Estates Garden Club agreed to act as our banker. And so if you were willing to do that, you need to write a check to the Avondale Estates Garden Club. And I'll send you an email but it is to our treasurer, Peg Wise, who lives at 1 Lakeshore Plaza. But I need to know immediately that, you know, that you've gotten the check to her, because I don't want to actually place an order for 36.
Sure. If you give me that, I can drop it off tonight.
Pardon me?
I can drop it off tonight.
Okay. So Avondale Estates Garden Club, Peg Wise, 1 Lakeshore Plaza.
Great.
W-Y-S-E.
Very generous. Thank you so much.
Talk about being single and childless has its benefits.
No, that'd be great. I mean, and, you know, trying to order more markers in another year or something like that. And, you know, my view is to have fairly limited, like, you know, potential each tree or whatever, but and having markers all over town is a little bit much, but that's just me. But anyway. Oh, and we're talking about Steve. Steve Sanchez was the previous chair of the Arboretum Committee. He couldn't make it tonight. He is on the tree board too, landscape architect. He's been involved with lots of stuff in the city in the past. Another item I had on the agenda was something he was really big on before too, and we talked about it, is that the city has a fund for tree removals, tree planting. You know, they do budget this at various stages, and Steve was, you know, we've had so many young trees that they need to be, you know, pruned up in certain points, and, you know, one of the things we had discussed is potentially kind of pointing this out to the Board of Mayor Commissioners that when they have funds, set aside some type of fund to handle pruning of trees and things like that. But Paul mentioned to me, of course, that there is a new staff person that they're looking for to be the green space manager for the city, which means that they would basically be need a little horticulture background to help train either Public Works or other crews to, you know, maintain our parks to the level that we really want. And that being said, it would also be, they'd be in charge of probably be in charge of dealing with the tree maintenance and removal fund and everything else. So there's nothing for us to do now. That was a statement I put in there, but I know that once we do have someone to manage our green spaces, they'll probably be invited to be a part of this and probably take Paul's place on the tree board to be the city person. So we'll see how that goes. And if you guys know anybody that is kind of just a green thumb type that, you know, an arborist or a nurseryman or something like that, that wants to work in an in-town environment, you know, give the city a call. They've got that out there as a position they want to fill. Paul, do you have any other thing you want to mention about that? Or?
I think maybe just for clarification, Jay, is this what they're talking about, pruning young trees? Is this ones that you would have marked on the inventory as train?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so I know that we have a little over 200 trees that need to be removed. We have a little over 200 trees that need to be pruned. I haven't looked to see how many fall into the train category. And Jay, do you have any updates on the tree management plan? You know, when that's...
I know that Joe Joyner is still working on it. I have not received an update on it, though.
So my hope is when we get the tree management plan and get somebody in place to manage the tree management program, that we'll be able to come back to the tree board and say, this is what we propose doing for the rest of 2022, you know, prune this many trees, train this many trees, remove this many trees, and let y'all provide input into, you know, how those numbers need to be adjusted considering our budget constraints.
Well, that sounds great. That will, you know, actually having a tree plan to review and kind of comment on as a citizen board is, that's actually going to be really cool. So I hope we're able to help, you know, at that point, you know, once that's available for us to take a look at. So, you know, with that, I guess I kind of put down like some of our future projects or future tasks. And, you know, there are lots of volunteer opportunities that we could try to promote as the tree board. You know, every year the tree board in the past has tried to do, they are, you know, promote the tree walk that the Garden Club also is involved in. Isn't that right, Christine? The Garden Club kind of put that together, or was that a, I'm trying to remember. I think you're, I was asking you, Christy, if the tree walk every year, is the Garden Club help sponsor that too?
Yes, it's every other year. It's every
odd year.
Odd number of year, yes. Yeah. So we won't have another one until the fall of 2023.
Okay. And then, of course, in the past, we've done, you know, tree plantings. Trees Atlanta has helped the city by bringing material and volunteers out to help augment any other city volunteers that do the tree planting every year. Based on identifying spots for canopy trees throughout the neighborhood. We really had a grand one this year, which was this past fall, which was like 70 trees. So there were a lot planted, but there's been years in the past where we didn't do it. So, you know, it's one of those things that we try to do every year, but some years may be better than others. Susie is involved with a local group of master gardeners that is called Gardeners for the Greater Good. And they're getting more and more involved doing sort of community projects in the parks and in our green spaces. Right now, they're cleaning up the Abelia Hedge downtown on North Avondale. And Susie, I don't know if you want to mention the potential of being involved with some of that stuff. I've volunteered to help, and I know we're going to have a community cleanup day to actually work in the Abelia Hedge coming up soon. And I volunteered to help with that group, but y'all usually work during the week, and I have a job. Yeah. So
that's the thing. That day got moved, didn't it?
Yes. I just learned it's going to be on Saturday, March the 12th, from 10 to 1. But I will just say quickly, Gardeners for the Common Good, it started in the summer of 2020, and it was just kind of something to do during COVID that we felt like we could be outside and be safe. And we started weeding. We weeded Willis Park a lot, again and again and again. And we have about 20 people. We're not really a club, or it's just folks see us generally and say, hey, what are you doing? I'd like to try that. And so we have about 20 people, maybe 21, that are on the email list. We meet twice a month, the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month. And the time we start depends on whether it's hot in the summer or cold in the winter. So like right now we're working in the afternoons, even though it's not that cold today. Five of us are master gardeners. Others are gardeners, you know, of all levels. And we just, it's just a, you know, it's a very, I say dirty knees group, cause that's what we do. But we've worked at Willis Park. We've worked at the lake. We've worked at the little lot, Clarendon Gateway Park. Where else have we worked? We've done a project for the garden clubs, when they were doing the Avondale Elementary thing, we did some transplanting of perennials there. But the Abelia hedge, can I just say, which besides the fact that I have a new computer that I don't know how to use, I'm now on my husband's computer. I can say that on 2/22/22, at about 3:30 this afternoon, we finished pruning the Abelia hedge. Yay. And so it 123 hours. I now keep up with who shows up and how long we work. We've done that every Tuesday this month because, as y'all know, pruning is time sensitive. And this was the last month that you're supposed to prune Abelia. Then we've got the work day that y'all know about on March the 12th. And that day will be really down and dirty. That day will be to pull the ivy and the lanicera or honeysuckle that is choking those Abelia plants at the base. So I think the way it will be set up is that there are light poles all throughout that hedge. If you take those light poles as kind of your markers, it divides into 16 different sections. I don't know how we'll do it. It depends on how many people volunteer, but either all of us can take a section to kind of organize and supervise and help with, of course, or if we get lots and lots of people, I mean, we could use for 3 hours, we could use 75 or 80 people. We're hoping for all ages, not little bitties, because it's really, that ivy is really hard to pull. But, you know, high school kids for sure. And we're just, you know, hoping some of the groups that sort of I thought about, we could have a University of Georgia Bulldog fan club. They could take a whole section. We could have, you could split the high schools up, the Druid Hills High people and their parents. You could do a swim and tennis team group. You could do a Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts. The tree board could form our own. We could do our own section. It would even be cool to have, especially these neighbors who live their streets abut, that, you know, they end up at the Abelia hedge. If there was a Exeter team and a Dartmouth team and a Fairfield team. So any ideas you have about that, of how to spread the word, it'll be fun. And I think, you know, the whole town talks about, identifies with that Abelia hedge. So I think we all know the more folks who touch it, the more we will care about it and be proud of it. So I'm hoping for a lot of different kinds of people. In terms of other things that GCG is going to do, of course, we're going to weed because they come back, but we sort of had a break from that this winter. One of our members brought up at our planning discussion that he's really concerned, and this actually, I can relate it to a tree since this is the tree board. He's really concerned about the Russian olive or Ely Agnes, or, you know, I'm a redneck from South Georgia. We called it Ugly Agnes. That hedge that is on Dewey Brown Plaza that is so overgrown and seems to be moving into, you know, Jay doesn't know which kind of oak, but that amazing specimen oak tree at the very western tip of that plaza. So nobody wants to mess with it. You know, it's supposed to be the Green Space Committee, which Brad was on, and probably lots of you were on before, way back when, said that it should be pruned to 6 feet in height. But it's actually spreading towards that oak tree and growing into the oak tree too. So we would appreciate guidance and assistance. Yeah. And say it.
I guess I was in our recommendations of the Green Space Report, my what I wanted to do was not put in there, which was to remove all the aliens and do something else. But anyway, that's,
don't you think, I mean, I keep thinking in our future iteration with the road diet and, you know, all the stuff that I guess is going to happen. I feel like in the end there'll be something different there.
And of course historically that's not what was there. You know, historically it was just sort of pockmarked with little fir trees.
Yeah.
You know, back in the original day. So, you know, landscape is malleable. Now the abelia is because the garden clubs put those in the 30s, that is kind of historic. So it's kind of considered historic landscape, although the plazas as a landscape feature are historic. You know, the landscape within them is always going to be changing because things are alive and things die and you replace them. And I forget the trees in there. I want to say that I can't remember the species either. Steve knows, and he actually took cuttings, and they're going to put a, there is a variety that I think Select Trees or another tree grower out there is going to be supplying.
Oh, cool.
That's based off that tree. And
God bless.
The apparently the cultivar name is Avenue.
Awesome.
I'll have to find that link somewhere, but I want to say either Select Trees or I can't remember where, but and of course I think Steve was behind it, so you can check with him. But but yeah, that's great, Susie. That's great information, because you know your group's kind of doing this on the ground stuff, and there are projects that as a board we may be like, hey, we should do this or that. And that's a great way to kind of get volunteer help, and then also we communicate with the city as well, so everybody's in the know. And with that, kind of my other comment that was sort of in the agenda is kind of the next steps. You know, we have a lot of the greens, and I think maybe I should share under the tree board thing, our green space report from 2016, 17.
Yes.
When we did that. And what it does, I mean, some of us on this committee probably don't know of all the public spaces that are, that the city owns. Some of them are kind of leftover drainage ways or something like that, but some are just lots that are just green space. And then there are also former areas that were designated as playgrounds or parks in the original plan of the city that are landlocked generally and connected with these little 10-foot wide driveways that are overgrown. So we have these kind of pocket parks that are kind of overgrown. We've had issues with one behind me that when I moved in, you couldn't see through it. It was so much wisteria. And you know, I'm out there basically cutting the wisteria after the city did clear it at one point. So we have those kind of areas just with invasives, ivy, things like that are hard to deal with, and city can't budget to clean that up or do invasive control all at once. That's just not possible. But these little groups and things, if we do little 500 square foot areas at a time, you know, we can kind of pick and choose our battles with that and create more native habitat throughout the city. So, you know, so I think that'd be a good tie-in in the future for picking new spots and things like that. And the green space manager would be key to helping us define which ones we're going to do.
Yeah.
So I'll send a link to that. I know I promised that to Paul too. It's pretty straightforward, just little
it's an excellent report.
Yeah. So so with that, I don't have anything else. I don't, you know, it's not a very exciting meeting. I was trying to figure out what all we can be talking about. So if anybody's got any comments or questions, Elaine's got her electronic hand up. Christy's got hers in the traces.
I was just going to tell Elaine, I just texted and Peg Wise, and I also tried to call her. I don't think she's home.
She's not.
So if
not
you want to drop that check off at my house, I'll get it to her. I'm at 91 Dartmouth Avenue. Thank you.
And Elaine, did you have another question?
I'll bring that over, Christy. And you said to make it out to the Avondale Estates Garden Club?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Yes, right. And thank you. So, again, for us newbies, how are these volunteer opportunities usually handled? Like, does somebody need to jump in and say, hey, I'll wrangle this or I'll do this? Or do you all have a system and timing and how does this work?
As a tree board, you know, we're not really setting up volunteer opportunities for ourselves. You know, it's like one of those things that they're out there. And I think that, especially those of you do that, the only way that I would know is that if it's in the e-newsletter that the city puts out and says, hey, community work day for this, we would be behind things like the fall tree planting. We'd also be involved with the tree walk to some degree. I mean, you know, I don't know how much we as a board have to, but the tree planting, I know we would. And I think with the new green space manager, it'll be kind of a, you know, hey, when's it happening? When do we organize it, et cetera. Other of these, like Gardens for the Greater Good, is their own little group. So the fact that Susie's in on the tree board, she's like a good resource for those who are interested in perhaps doing that if they want to do that. I just know they do a lot of their projects during the week.
But we for special things, we can adjust our days. That just works out a lot, especially for the master gardeners. They already have volunteer master gardener stuff that they do on other days. So we just came up with Tuesdays, second and fourth, because it let the most of us in. But if you're going to be around on the 12th, Elaine, I think there are a lot of different aspects of this day that somebody needs to wrangle, as you put it. And so maybe we should talk about that.
Well, because I'm just wondering more about, like, under the item number 7, the future events and volunteer opportunities, like how much of these events or what events we spearhead and need to, like, organize for versus other groups do that we can just be a part of.
I'll say that from what I understand, other than the tree planting, the tree board did not really spearhead anything. I may be wrong. So I just sort of put that in there as kind of like, hey, you know, if the city needs help, that they may want to kind of defer to us to see if we can't wrangle, you know, interest in a particular project or something, and maybe it's worth being a volunteer project.
When the markers when the markers come, there's going to be a big put.
Yeah, that there you go. That's the first thing we're going to do. So, so I don't know if that helped really answer the question, but, you know, in the past, there hasn't been a lot the tree board did. The arboretum, we did put in the markers, and then the tree board has done the tree plantings. But, you know, I'm just sort of putting kind of feelers out there, the fact that the Gardens for Greater Good, you're doing more maintenance stuff, that maybe, you know, we could do more stuff like that. But anyway, Tracy, looks like you had a question too.
I just wanted to make sure we're clear on timeline for ARPANET press release and things like that before I leave. So tomorrow I will have time to put those resources. I'll send those to the tree board group, just the information that ARPANET sent me. But Lindsay and I were chatting on the side. She's a PR expert. So she and I can work on the press release, but do we have a deadline by which we want to put this out there?
A headline?
A deadline for a press release.
If you guys are going to kind of help spearhead that, you're welcome to set a deadline.
Okay, so Lindsay, Steve and I talk on the, we'll say ASAP, and she and I can talk about what AP is. Okay.
And then when it's done, and you know, we can kind of look at a draft if people want to make a comment on it.
We should probably share that to the tree board group too before we send it out anywhere, right?
Yeah, and then we just send it to the city and say, hey, you know, tree board requests that you put this out.
Oh, okay, that's a question I didn't even ask, but I needed to. So okay, great, thank you,
and Christy.
A suggestion of projects. I don't know who would ever take this on, but that whole mess of what used to be, you know, across from Wiltshire, where the city, you know, has, you know, mulch piles and stuff. I mean, back there, it's so overgrown with kudzu. It's just an enormous project that probably needs to be handled by, you know, a professional organization to go in and figure out what needs to be done.
Well, I will say that
absolute mess.
Yeah, I'll post that green space thing. The city did a master plan for the lake, which includes that property. And it indicated, you know, a potential community garden and some other things. But, you know, as you know, to implement that full master plan would probably be $10 million. And the portion right now the city's working on is the Northwoods, which will be a stormwater water pollution control feature and park space as well that will help the lake. So that's the first step. And then yes, those areas are stuff the city should try to do. For us as a group or volunteers to go clear kudzu, that's probably bigger than
it's overwhelming.
Yeah. Does anybody else have any other items we should discuss or put on the next agenda the next time?
Let me just mention a couple things, if you don't mind.
Oh, sorry, Paul. I didn't see your...
There's a Lake Board meeting in two days. So if anybody wants to come to that and talk about Northwoods and Southwoods, that would probably be the time. I sent the Lake Board a link today for somebody that removes invasives without using herbicides. They have previously expressed an interest in doing, twice a year culling of invasives in both the Northwoods and Southwoods, but some people object to using herbicides. So we'll put everything on the table as far as that goes. The community cleanup day on March 12th, as far as I'm concerned, is a city event. And so we're going to try and provide the organization for that. I don't think it's up yet. I know they are working today on a web form in order to sign up for that event. So that should be live in the next day or two. And I'll be happy to send y'all a link when we get to that. I also wanted to mention, as far as the Illy Agnes and like the Laura Petalum behind the holly tree on Clarendon, those are kind of big projects. But we released an RFP for tree services last week, which closes on March 31st, I think. So hopefully we'll get some good bids on that and select somebody. It's primarily for tree removals, but once we have somebody on the hook for on-call services that we feel like we're getting competitive rates from, I think that's the way to go as far as taking care of some of those big projects that need a wood chipper. And again, we would come back to y'all and the green space manager to ask for help in prioritizing those different projects. But I think I mentioned in the email, when I was setting y'all up on Treekeeper, Davey is currently working on putting a turf management layer into Treekeeper. So you'll be able to toggle back and forth between the tree layer and the turf management layer. So that'll be another tool for sort of managing those projects, both for us internally with just doing the mowing and blowing, but also the kind of larger things like keeping the shrubs under control. And we're going to need guidance from you on whether we trim the Illy Agnes back to 6 feet or 3 feet or 0 feet or whatever. So.
Or grind the stump.
Yeah, and I'm real excited about that Clarendon Avenue Plaza getting a real shave too. So
Susie was bugging the Green Space Committee 4 years ago about that one. Hi, Lindsay. I think you had a comment too.
Yeah, just a comment about you mentioned the Lake Board, Paul. I'm curious. Do you know? I noticed that we have there's pesticide treatment on the lawns around the lake. Do you have any? I'm just curious about that. That's something that came to my attention recently.
I mean, it's kind of a funny thing. We do not actually apply any pesticides around the lake.
There's just the
signs. Put little flags up there that say pesticides, but it's really just fertilizer that they're spreading on the grass. Don't ask me why True Green uses flags that say pesticide, but they're just trying to keep pets and babies off the grass until it dries.
Okay. But it's not actually pesticides. That's just something that I was kind of laughing about. There's the little bird boxes and all the great things around to encourage wildlife. It's this doesn't quite seem like it's adding up. So that's good to know. Another comment was, I thought maybe at the last meeting, there was still going to be some discussion around the joining of the two boards and what that meant in terms of overall mission and goals and just that sort of thing. I didn't know if that was something that was still
discussed. I think Paul sent out forgive me if I got behind on it, but I think Paul sent out the what's in our ordinance about the tree board. Am I right, Paul? I think that was sent out, right? That is what it is. To the extent of our quote power or anything like that. The arboretum was set up specifically to basically set up and be responsible for an arboretum. And what we discussed was the fact that just that task would be under the tree board, and it would meet the standard of ARBNET and everything to do that. As far as, you know, rewriting that language or something, if somebody wants to go into the language and say, hey, tree board should have more power than this. So, you know, at that point, it becomes kind of like, we recommend we do this. And that would be a whole nother series of meetings to change our, you know, language and all this kind of stuff of what we do. We all would have to agree to it and then go to the Board of Mayor Commissioners and say, hey, we want to change the ordinance to add this to our purview or something like that. So I know that was discussed last time, but I don't necessarily think that it's something we have to worry about. You know, unless somebody has some overarching, like we have to legally say that we're doing this and that and the other, and we've got to put a statement about the Arboretum or something like that. I mean, we could do that, but that can be somebody's project. We need to. Tracy, okay. Hey.
Yeah. So my understanding is that the kind of charter and raison d'etre for the Arboretum Board in the first place was to like get accredited. So now that we're accredited, check. And in accreditation, in the application that I sent to ARBNET, I just said that the Arboretum is overseen by the Tree Board, which is a board of the city.
Makes
so,
sense.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I'm going to continue to advocate for sort of the Arboretum to be more of a thing within the Tree Board. I don't know quite how yet, but you know, I just want to make sure we're keeping an eye on, you know, the trees that are in the collection and how we're, you know, kind of sharing the collections and making sure that those collections have as much value as possible. So,
I wouldn't have any problem like suggesting to the BOMC to add a statement into our little legislation there that says that we're responsible for maintaining the collection of the Arboretum and just, you know, including markers or whatever, and just sort of leave it at that, you know, and that way it's included. And then the future tree board in 20 years is like, oh, we have an Arboretum. We need to keep up with this Arboretum here. So, you know, with that, I think that kind of gets us on a good start. I think our next deal here is maybe those of us that are interested in being involved in the work day on March 12th. And then we've got the markers coming after the summer. So, and then, of course, we have the press release that that Lindsay and Tracy agreed that they'll work on that and distribute that to folks. I will find the green space report we did, share that with folks so they can get acclimated. Those of you that are new to the city or new to what we have as far as green spaces are. But for the next meeting, is there some this overarching thing we need to discuss? I kind of wonder if we even need to meet next month, but that's Christy.
You know, we talked about as an Arboretum Board how we were going to do a map of the mm-hmm. trees, and I mean this is something that I don't think I'd like us to keep that, you know, moving.
Well, we talked about
so that we do.
Yeah, we talked about
an app, and it's accessible through the city's website, so that citizens could go to the website and say, "Oh, well, this is where all these trees are." And
one thing we need to kind of create a brochure, I think, that shows a map. You know, mm-hmm. And what I would do though is I think we could easily take the tree keeper data. We can assign certain trees as being Arboretum trees, and then there's a layer, Arboretum. So they can literally go to the Tree Keeper website that's public and then turn on the layer, City Arboretum, bing, there's the trees. So that is certainly something we can do. I think what Jay and Paul would need to know is which ones are the marked trees. So we've got to, you know, help with that. I assume Jay and Paul, that would be easy to do.
Yes, I so on the trees that I did see the granite markers, I did not have a way to mark them as an arboretum, but I did mark them as memorial trees.
Okay.
So that is a partial list of the arboretum already started in there. if somebody had a address location of all the arboretum trees, I could easily change that to where we could just look for memorial trees temporarily and have our list of arboretum. Then when we get the layer ready, we can just convert them all over to the arboretum layer.
We've got that. And okay. So we'll get that too. And then what we can do is just take the map and show the layer of the arboretum trees and then print it. And then we can use that map in a brochure that explains it. So Christy, I think that might be the thing we can do. And it makes it easy, you know, nobody has to draw a map. I think we could do it. It's already been done for us. That's kind of a project I can kind of help spearhead that, because I can get the addresses to Jay and say, here's the full list of those 30 that we're going to be adding. From that, the press release that gets done, we can kind of put these together with some photos and a nice font and print a little brochure and actually put the PDF on the city website and create an arboretum section of on the website somehow. So I'll take a look at kind of running with that to a certain degree, getting that moved forward. Any other things that we want to, hey, Susie, sorry, it's hard to see all these hands without people doing this.
Yeah. One more thing it's something I think about a lot, and I've broached it with our gardener volunteers, but it's a big job. But I'm wondering if this group of people especially are the right group of people to launch a educational campaign, a publicity campaign to our residents about street trees. And just, you know, who do the street trees belong to? If you live on a street with a sidewalk and a verge, not everybody does. So, but then the importance of mulching around street trees, because I see so many of the beautiful trees that Trees Atlanta and you all have been responsible for in the past, and they're whacked to death by weed whackers.
Yes, that great point. Let's put that as our agenda next.
I think that would be a really good project for us.
Yeah, because people are volcanoing their trees. They're putting dyed mulch in. I mean, I'm like, guys, you know, come on. All you need is this.
But I think we can photograph good examples. Good examples.
And it's out there. We can say, don't volcano your mulch. It ruins the tree. You know, make sure you've got this much room. You know, take away some of the grass around your trunk. You know, all that good stuff. I totally agree. So. I think that is something we should be promoting and putting forward.
Good.
So let's make that a discussion point for our next meeting so we can kind of plan it out.
Okay.
That to me would be all we need to talk about. Everything else is kind of in the future here. And unless somebody's got any specific things they want to discuss next time, I'm happy to put it in here. I don't care, but that's a great point, Susie.
I just added this in the chat, but that just made me think, like, could we just, those are such great tips. Could we just do like a recurring did you know section in the Avondale newsletter, not every week, maybe once a month, with those sort of reminders? Yeah. And I mean, it's just such an easy thing to do.
And that's not a lot
of
effort format.
And kind of reminds folks, oh yeah, there's this tree board that's sort of like this group in the
tree
community.
Tree board tip of the month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's great. Now
that's something pretty simple that I think we could.
Because I'm tired of, you know, walking the neighborhood and going, just kind of grumbling to myself. And I'm like, well, they don't know better. So, you know, and I think by putting that out there, at least it gets some people will see it. Some people will never notice. But
you're right. You know. But I see so many trees that are damaged that I know were Trees Atlanta trees. And I always think, I'm surprised they come back, because we're not, you know, a lot of them are just, they're just like
abused,
being really, really killed by our machines and our lawnmowers and stuff. So I'd love to explore that.
And sadly, you know, some of it may be maintenance companies too. There's always that potential. So, okay, well, that's great. So we have a topic for the next meeting. Do we have a date we want to settle on to discuss this? Because it may be a short meeting, we do that.
I'll put Ellen Powell's email in the chat.
Okay.
So if you have suggestions for a tip of the month, then feel free to send them to her. Okay. And as far as scheduling meetings, I think I told the lake board, but not y'all. I'm getting a little confused. But the city manager has asked that you not schedule meetings on the same week as the BOMC. So if you can schedule on the first and third weeks of the month rather than second and fourth, then that would be appreciated.
Okay. Well, that being the case, why don't we plan our next meeting in April? Is that okay, folks?
Yeah, because everybody's going to help on March the 12th. Well, that'll be our contribution in March.
So, yeah. I'm actually out the entire first week.
Yeah, it can't be the first week. That's spring break for anybody who has kids in their lives around.
Right. Yeah. So is everybody okay with like setting it for April 12th? And if you can make it, great. And I think the plan would be to mainly talk about, try to come up with like several months worth of tips that we can discuss about our street trees.
The third week of April, that would be the 19th, would be Tuesday. If we're to meet the first or third week.
Oh, first or third week. Oh, okay, yeah. Well, yeah, the 19th is fine too. So if April 19th sounds good to folks, we can set that. Okay.
Good by me.
Oh, hey, Alex. Sorry, I see Alex has a hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to say before we got off, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Alex Ballard. I'm with the Georgia Forestry Commission. I'm an urban forester or community forester, however they want to say it. Also, an arborist. I'm a registered forester. There's several things. I work in the northwest portion of the state. My office is in Marietta. And the things y'all are talking about, like the tree walk and the tree plantings and all that, please send me an email for that. I'll be glad to come out and help with that. Kind of been looking at the tree inventory as we've been on here, and it looks fantastic. So I really like what y'all got going on, and I would like to work with y'all in the future. Actually came through there last week. Super cool looking town. Pretty neat place to be. I ate at a place called my parents' basement, and that's one of the coolest places I've ever been in my life. So like, I just wish I had friends here with me to go, you know, to a place like that. But super cool town, and definitely, you know, send me these events, and I'll try to make it out as well.
If you're doing Northwest Georgia, Alex, you need to help out my hometown in Cedartown. They've lost so many oaks along College Street now that it just looks unrecognizable, and people need to plant their trees back.
Okay, I think I met the mayor there last week, so it's one. I've been here 6 months, so the last three years
I can give you plenty of, if you're doing Northwest Georgia, I can help you.
I'm originally from Mississippi, and I just moved to Georgia 3 years ago after college, and I worked that coastal side up until this year, and I took this route so I get closer to home.
Are you a different Bulldog?
Yeah, I am the wrong Bulldog, as the Georgia person says.
That's okay.
Maybe Al could be our educational person at the next event.
I can do it.
Have to do for the our.
He can proofread our tips and make sure we're
right. Really, yeah. And I mean, I have a lot of presentations. Like, I got all the ISA little pamphlets and all that. I got all this kind of stuff that we've made, publications and all that. So if there's ever an event, I can throw up a table and have all kind of cool stuff there.
You'll want to meet Steve too, who's arborist as well as all the other stuff he does.
Well, actually, I don't think he is an arborist. He's just a landscape architect.
Isn't he a registered arborist? No.
I don't think so.
I take it back. I strike from the record and don't put that in the minutes.
That's all right. That is all I have. Does anybody have any other statements? If not, I mean, somebody can.
I just have to add. When I've been dealing with this woman at DNS Monuments, I said, "Well, our tree guru has to look at that." Send it off to Steve. So, and he is, when we have our tree walks, he always leads one of the walks as an arborist, even though he's not truly an arborist. But
I might be wrong, but I swear I think he's like me, just a landscape architect. And he's an armchair arborist like me.
Well, I call him the tree guru.
That's fine. anything else?
Should I make a motion to leave?
Anybody want to second that?
I don't know that we approved the minutes.
Get
real nitpicky.
Yeah, no, that's right. There were minutes. I do not have them in front of me.
But, motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, we approve the minutes. And Susie Dieters has a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second. Yes, a second.
Great. All right, well, thanks, everybody.